Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Marijuana has a reputation for helping people who are in pain, but achieving the analgesic effect often comes at a cost. Users of the drug complain of memory loss and mood disturbances. Now, by identifying the pathway in the brain that's responsible for these psychoactive side effects, University of East Anglia researcher Peter McCormick has found that, at least in experimental mice, it's possible to isolate just the pain-killing actions of cannabis.
So we were interested in understanding if it was possible to be able to separate the side effects of THC, which is a psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, from the beneficial pain relief effects that have been known and of interest in terms of the medical field. Low doses or low amounts of THC have been known to provide pain relief for chronic pain. So these are patients that suffer from arthritis or injury.
How is that effect achieved? What does that chemical THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, what does it do to achieve pain relief?
It's thought to reduce inflammation. Inflammation is caused from immune cells that come in and respond when you have an injury. This inflammation sort of pinches your nerves, and that's what gives you a pain signal. And it's thought to reduce that.
And therefore, having the chemical present in the body inhibits the pain signal.
Correct.
But nonetheless also gets into the nervous system where it produces the mood-altering effects, which are the ones which are less desirable.
Correct. The mood and memory. Memory is a big one.
And how can you therefore try and disentangle the two effects?
So what we were able to identify is that the pain effects come via one pathway, say one street, and the memory effects are caused by another pathway. And if you put a roadblock on one of those pathways, you can only achieve the pain without having the memory effects.
What is the pathway you've uncovered in the brain which is mediating or causing these memory and mood-altering effects of THC that you're able to block?
Well, interestingly, we found it was via another very well-known pathway that's a target for treating psychiatric diseases. It's called serotonin pathway. And we discovered that this serotonin pathway was somehow involved and was responsible for these memory or mood effects.
Summarizing that then, so the marijuana comes into the body. The THC in the marijuana goes to a range of different places, including the brain.
Correct.
Within the brain, one of the effects, it binds onto receptors, chemicals that it docks with in the brain. But downstream of that are these serotonin signals, and those are the ones that produce the undesirable mood and memory effects of marijuana. And if you block those, you don't get those psychoactive effects.
Correct.
Right, so how did you find that?
Well, we were working in mice in collaboration with a lab down in Barcelona. They had mice that were lacking this particular serotonin receptor. And they treated those animals with THC, and they could see that these animals no longer had memory or mood problems, but they still achieved the pain problems. And that suggested to us that this other receptor was somehow involved. So we moved to the cells and in vitro to try and understand how we could, instead of, because in humans you can't delete the receptor, you can't get rid of it. So we tried to investigate, all right, if we block the interaction but don't get rid of that serotonin receptor, what would happen? And we were able to achieve the same effect.
There are drugs that will let you do that.
We developed an approach, and it was essentially what we've shown as a proof of principle. Now the chemists would have to basically take our scaffolder and say, all right, we know this will work. Let's see if we can make a small molecule for the clinic that would achieve the same thing.
Therefore, the work is really only just beginning, because you've now got to design from scratch a whole new drug.
Absolutely. Basically, this is the first step and the first proof of concept that the idea is possible.
Peter McCormick discussing the work he published this week in the journal PLOS Biology.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.